Hey, it's Darren Johnson, Weekly Newspaper Podcast. I know I've been bad with putting podcasts up lately, but here's one I did on the air on WJJW North Adams College Radio, Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts radio station that I advise, and I think it's pretty good. So I take a look at my Facebook feed. Enjoy.
Just tuned in. This is Darren Johnson. I'm a professor here at MCLA. And I am going to do a little talk about my Facebook feed. And, all right, I also will play in the background Frippin' Eno's Evening Star album. So you're going to get a little bit of everything going on here. All right, so I'm going to play Frippin' Eno, band from the 1975, Evening Star, a couple of experimental musicians. And I'm going to go through my Facebook feed at the same time because Facebook just feels like a dream sometimes. It feels like, hey, it's a fever dream. I'm just having this fever dream going on. And like, when did I like this thing? And why am I watching it? And why do I keep coming back to it? Why is it when there's like a little red alert next to that little bell notification, like, why do I feel compelled to grab a device and look at it? And I don't read as many books as I used to read because of this stupid thing, this phone. And you know, I still read newspaper articles and I try to read books, but my attention span has gone way down. And my students' attention span is, you ask them to read a book and that's crazy almost in this day and age. And it doesn't have to be that way. Anyway, let's play Wind on the Water by Frippin' Eno and also talk about my Facebook feed. So here it comes. All right, so how's that? They say you shouldn't play music like this on the radio because it might lull someone into like an hypnotic state. And if they're driving, you know, that's not good. But I'll talk, so that'll keep you awake. I think if I just played Frippin' Eno, Wind on the Water, Evening Star album, I don't think that would be good. This album, it hit well before, you know, I was cognizant of music. I guess I was technically alive. And I encountered a extended play cassette called Frippin' Eno. And I got it at like a super, like at a closeout. Maybe I was in my teens or, yeah, I think I was mid to late teens. And it had the hole punched through it. Back then, if you had a cassette that you weren't, that you weren't supposed to sell anymore. Like it was taken off of the for sale rack. It was no longer published, I guess. They would take them off the rack and they'd punch a hole through the cassette. Well, I guess people were pretty unscrupulous, so they would put these cassettes into a big bin and you could buy them for a dollar. So I bought this for a dollar. Anyway, let's go through my Facebook feed while I'm playing Frippin' Eno, Wind on the Water. I brought this cassette with me to college. When I went to college, I went to a residential college, and I played this, and the pot smoking kids thought it was cool. And then I lent it to it. There were a couple of like nerds, like in the next building over, and they weren't like the types of people that I liked hanging out with in college. They for example, had a neat room and it was clean and tidy and their parents were very attentive. And, you know, my parents, like, well, they were separated, but they were, I guess they were divorced by then. I don't know when the paperwork went through. But it was just like much less functional. And these two women who were living in this dorm, who I lent my Frippin' Eno cassette to, they borrowed it for some reason. I don't know why. and they didn't seem the type. They were also the type, and this was kind of the dividing line in college. I went to a private college, you know, where some of the kids were wealthier than others, and they had phones hooked up in their room. Now, that might seem like, oh, geez, you know, it's, I had to use the payphone up the hall, you know, and pump in quarters. So my mother got a call like once a month, maybe, and that was about it. If someone wanted to call you, they'd have to call the payphone. And then someone would pick it up and they'd yell, oh, yeah, Joe in room 127B or something. I'll go get him. And knock, knock, knock. And in any case, they borrowed these two people who had the phone installed. They probably had cable, too, you know. So they had parents that, like, had a few bucks. And we didn't even have a TV in my room because at most maybe you can get, like, one or two channels by antenna if you tried really hard back then. And one was, like, the Shopping Network. I remember some of the stoner kids would watch the Shopping Network at, like, 2 in the morning. And I was, like, I saw these two girls and, you know, they still, like, conjure up, like, a negative feeling to me, but why should I hate them at this point for having, you know, parents that were very attentive to their needs? But at the time, I guess maybe it was jealousy that came out in another way. And I said, hey, where's my Frippinino cassette? And they said, oh, it got eaten up by the tape player, and it was all unspooled, and it was all eaten up, and I was like, you could fix it with a pencil. And they're like, ah, they kind of like scoffed at me. And so my 99-cent Frippinino cassette was no more, and I never saw it again. And I was never able to tell if I'm getting a spam call right now. I was never able to tell if they were lying or what, or maybe just blew their mind because they were from such a predictable background. And I was brought up with chaos, so this kind of music, like, is, hey, this makes sense to me. But maybe just blew their mind, and it was, like, everything they hated. All right, so these same two women, I think other people didn't like them either. You know, I guess they had their friends, and honestly, they probably were more likely to graduate than most of my friends, if you ask me. But, you know, a lot of my friends didn't graduate because they were in the, you know, the aforementioned stoner group. And so they were probably more likely to graduate. But one of my friends, I guess at the time, hard to say their friend because he failed out after the first year and I've never seen him again. But he went into their room, I guess, when they weren't there, and he rifled through their music. And they had Saturday Night Fever on LP. the Saturday Night Bee Gees album. They had Saturday Night Fever on an LP. And he brought it out to the quad, and they somehow got wind that he had there. The quad was outside, and it was dark in the nighttime. And the two women, I don't even remember their names, they somehow got wind that this guy with long hair had gotten their LP of Saturday Night Fever. And like they were maybe 40, 30 yards away, and they were approaching with like disgust on their face that this guy had their LP holding it up in the air, and he smashed it into a million pieces. And they seemed very distraught by this, that he had busted up their disco album. But you know, that's the feeling people had toward disco back then. Looking back, the movie was a little edgy. There's like some edgy scenes in that movie. And I don't know, maybe we all hated the Bee Gees back then, but you can't say that they were a band that didn't know what they were doing and didn't have talent. So we, you know, in retrospect, we were, you know, programmed to hate that band, but I think it was more like a haves versus haves not feeling that a lot of people had. I've gotten, since this this broadcast started, I've gotten like 8 emails from the textbook company on campus, and they want me to adopt textbooks. And I just said that people don't don't read textbooks like they used to. So I don't even really use them. I just use freebie textbooks off the web that the students can get for free. But I'm getting those messages. Anyway, I wanted to get into my my Facebook feed because it is the bane of my existence, but somehow I keep going back to it like a moth to a flame. And in case you're wondering what that background music is, if you tuned in late, it's Frippinino's Evening Star album. All right. First on my Facebook feed. First off, there's the little stories across the top. I never create stories, but the first one is from a student newspaper in New Jersey called The Torch, and they have, it's a picture of Trump. I'm not going to open that. Then the next one is like this former student of mine. I own a student paper, and they have a photo of a dog with a can of Diet Coke next to it. And the student, I get disappointed when the students don't really, like, they study a field and they don't really end up in that field. Now I've just gotten the seventh email from the textbook seller. A post, a person my age who has a daughter, I guess in college age, picture of the daughter. A former student of mine who's now a DJ at a big radio station has breaking news about the Giants switching their quarterback. He's at a sports station, and he's doing well. He's doing better than the professor. Someday the student defeats the master. Another former student from way back when, I'm old as you can tell, is posting about, it looks something, it's a picture. It looks political. Now my students, after a certain age, they start having kids and families and such. Another student has a baby picture. So those are some of the reels. The local library, the midlife crisis woman I went to high school with posts like so many selfies of herself. Utica University. It used to be Utica College. Utica University sounds so stupid. Like UU. I go to UU. It's like something the mafia would say. UU. Local paper. I hate to tell them, but it's kind of, their paper's kind of poorly laid out. A student radio station, not this one. All right. First post in my feed is called "We Live in a Simulation," and there's a picture of "Do you believe we live in a simulation, like the Matrix?" It's a picture of something that looks like a helicopter on, like, in Egyptian hieroglyphics on, I guess, like some, you know, pyramid or something that the Egyptians made a million years ago. And then there's a picture of the exact same helicopter today. And the person writes, "Have we been here before?" All right, and then next on my feed is someone wishing someone I used to work for in the past at a newspaper, and this person also works at a newspaper, happy birthday. I never believed in, like, the newspaper people should all be buddies. Like, you're supposed to be buddies with, like, all the other newspaper people in your area. I do newspaper work. I know you're, like, all trying, you're all in the business, and you know you have business things that you want to talk about, but you're also competitors. So I don't know if you should be buddies. Like, you want to get that, you know, you want to get the breaking news and the scoop and all that. So I don't know if you want to be friends with them. Here's a, speaking of college, here's someone I went to college with in my feed, and he's posting from 2 years ago. He's had a lot of problems, this guy, so I won't really give too many details, but I went to college with this person, and I kind of have him on my, like, now when I post, I have him on the excluded list because he's just a little bit out there, and things didn't go well for him. He's been through some marriages and, you know, child custody things. Jackpot lottery app has an ad on here. They want me to get addicted to gambling. Low budget filmmaking. That's like a group I joined about how to make low-budget films. And they're asking some boring advice. A car detailer. I hired this person to detail my car in the past. So maybe, you know, it's a picture of a car that she detailed and looks pretty good. So if you want a car detailer in Washington County, New York, let me know. All right. Next on the list is another ad on Facebook for sleep and spas. And they're trying to sell me a hot tub. Like, I looked at a hot tub once a million years ago. And now, like, that's all I see are hot tub ads. And I do like hot tubs, but it's totally impractical for me to want to get one. And they're not cheap. It's like $9,000. That's a lot of money. Like, is that where I want to spend my $9,000 on a hot tub that I'd use like twice a year? All right, here's a fun one. Now, you might want to join one of these groups. And if there's any, like, now I got the 8th email just now from the textbook seller on campus, the bookstore, wanting me to adopt a textbook. I joined a group called Anonymous Confessions Group, and I haven't made any anonymous confessions, but I like reading them. It's like when I was a kid, I used to read Dear Abby in the paper. Well, these are like Dear Abby times 10, and people can anonymously post their confessions. So here's one, and they get a little bit dirty, so I don't know if I can go that much into it. I have an ongoing thing with somebody. We don't see each other very often, but if we do it usually gets hot. He started it, I enjoy it. There are no intentions, though, to make a real relationship out of it for multiple reasons. A few times, blank, 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 explicit detail, and once he went into a different room to explicit detail about finishing something. All right. Last time we saw each other, things got pretty wild in the living room. We were a bit drunk, me probably more than him. I knew that he still had to go home. And when there was some kind of break, I went to bed naked, curled up, and covered with my blanket. All right. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So, and then people reply to it. And the replies are funnier usually than the post. It makes me wonder why people make the post just to get made fun of. It's like Dirty Dear Abby. So that group is called Anonymous Confessions Group on Facebook. And then to get to something wholesome, a senior citizen posted pictures of cookies she made. So we go from like someone doing Friends with Benefits explicit details. I've gotten the 9th now reminder for textbooks to someone who makes cookies for the holidays. Another ad for patio enclosures. I don't even think I have a patio, so I don't need it enclosed. Maybe they do the patio too. All right, so a little town near where I live has a community page. And there's been, like, a lot of bike issues, like people getting their bikes stolen. So, I don't know. This person wrote on the community page, just a quick PSA. If you're riding an e-bike on the road, please be courteous and behave as if you are a vehicle, meaning stay on the right side of the road, especially when there's oncoming traffic, and pull over if there's traffic behind you lining up because your top speed is 15 miles an hour. And remember, a vehicle will damage you a lot more than you would damage the vehicle. So that was published on the local community page. And now Facebook gives me a bunch of options for videos I might want to watch, reels. They call them, I guess they're the equivalent of TikTok, and they always have like a little like boomerang photo, and if you click on it, you can see the whole thing. The first one's about some guy trying to cross the street with a dog, and a car cuts him off, and he tries to kick the car, and it's written in foreign language. Facebook doesn't know, like, they give me all languages. I don't know if they do that for you. And then 19 years ago, further proof that the whole fight was rigged and just a payday. They're talking about the Mike Tyson fight. And yeah, that fight definitely was, I'm not a person that believes in sports conspiracies or fixes or things of that nature, but it's not beyond me to realize that sports can be fixed. So, and in case you're wondering, if you just tuned in, I'm playing Frippinino's Evening Star album from 1975 in the background. Sports can be fixed. And that was such a like a time waster. I stayed up past, I don't know, 1 in the morning watching that so-called fight. And we saw Mike Tyson in the training videos. And he was like, he looked really scary. It was like, you know, Rocky Balboa going up. You remember the Rocky Balboa was like the big comeback Rocky movie where he was old and he decided to fight a younger guy. And this was kind of based on that. And the younger guy got out of it like, oh, now everyone likes me now because I carried Rocky Balboa. I didn't knock him out, but everyone likes me now. And Rocky got something out of his system. But at least that fight, it seemed like they were really hurting each other. And this fight, they both weren't really hurting each other. They kind of gave up. And I'm not that far in age from Mike Tyson. And I'm probably about the same height and weight, maybe. And of course, he's in better shape. But I think if you gave me, like, I don't know what he had, like 9 months or something, a year, to prepare to fight a YouTube star half my age, I think I would have done better than he did. And he seemed like massively depressed during that so-called fight that was on. Now, it was only on Netflix, so it didn't cost anything. We have Netflix anyway. And even if you had to pay for it, what's it, like $8 a month? It's pay-per-view is like $50, $60, $100. So you can't complain about something that's essentially free. But it was a little bit of a time waste. Your time's worth something. And I think that if I had like the time, like a year to prepare, and, you know, having done like, I did some fighting sports as a kid, you know, I wasn't Mike Tyson top of my game. You know, I don't know, like Mike Tyson knows more about fighting than I will ever know. But I think I could have put on a better show than that. I think Mike Tyson was depressed because he knew pride was messing with him, and he knew, like, hey, I'm pretending this is a real fight, but it's really not a real fight, and I'm making $20 million, and he's making $40 million, and I'm just going to, you know, not get knocked out, but I'm not going to look that great either, and not throw, like... an old guy. He's not even that old. Like, everyone's saying he's old. He's not that old because I'm about that age. Someone trained with his level of training. I've seen YouTube videos of old boxers beat up, like, thugs on the street older than him. He doesn't have, like, one punch in him that could knock out a YouTube star. Now, I know. The YouTube star was big and physically big and experienced to a degree. But he also was leaving himself open because he wasn't really, you know, he was wide open there. You know, I'm not criticizing boxing. Who knows? Maybe, you know, it would have been harder to penetrate his defense than it seemed because he was big and gawky. But you know, someone who was a boxing champ of Mike Tyson's level can't throw a couple of decent punches over all those rounds. So, and then the second reel is, more Mike Tyson stuff. And it explains exactly what I did. It shows him in training, like doing all this crazy boxing at 100 miles an hour. And then it shows the actual fight. So everyone out there saying, hey, the fix was in. I guess the only people it would affect are gamblers, really. Like, if you believed Mike Tyson and you went out there and bet the house on Mike Tyson winning, you're in trouble. You don't have a house. All right, next on the list is an ad from J&A Carpentry showing before and after kitchen and bathroom photos. Next, my town has a community page. and a local eatery posted their menu. And all they do every day is they take a picture of like some printout with like Tahoma font or something. It's just a simple, boring, it's not even laid out. And they just take a picture of it with their phone and post it. No one ever likes it. So I know it's free advertising for them. It's probably habit forming for them to post every day. But I don't think that's, I don't think they're doing their best marketing wise. I have a free page, free518, which is the zip, the area code I live in. And someone posted, my son is in search of a queen size mattress and he can pick it up today. I wouldn't take a used mattress, but I guess the son is looking for one. An ad from Vista Print. I can get a calendar made. Maybe I could take 12 photos of myself wearing Mike Tyson briefs and people would buy that for their calendar. I have another group that I joined for fun called Matrix Mysteries. Matrix Mysteries. And the person wrote, life is like a race car. Scientists made a super cold magic road that slows the car down until it stops. They can pause the light, save it, and let it go again whenever they want. Very Doctor Strange-like. So they're saying that they can stop and speed up light. All right. Next is an ad for Casper Mattresses. Okay, so this just shows how devious Facebook is. Is that they have an ad for Casper Mattresses because we had the post a few above it for someone looking for a mattress. And I just said the words Matrix. Uh-oh, I accidentally clicked on it. That means I'm going to see mattress ads for the next, like, 5 years. There's a nostalgia site. There's a lot of people on Facebook for nostalgia. And they post like, oh, you remember when? And usually it's people that used to live in the town, but they don't live in the town anymore. And they miss the town. So they post like, hey, do you remember when there was a railroad in town or a trolley? And, you know, it's great. Nostalgia's great, but they don't do anything for the present. The town needs help now. And nostalgia people should think of like, all right, what can I do to make the town better now? Not better, you know, 40, 50 years ago. I know you're, like, reconstructing your memories and keeping your brain fluid, but, and nostalgia's great to a point, but, All right, back to the We Live in a Simulation page. Random thought. The funniest blank, expletive word, I've ever heard for real was, quote, they are eating the dogs, they are eating the cats, end quote. And the drama it made better. Hashtag meow. All right, so that was the funniest S word this poster has ever heard was they are eating the dogs, they are eating the cats. And that guy won the election, so I don't know who's to laugh on, I guess. That just shows you how fed up America is. Like, this guy says crazy stuff and he gets elected. More reels. Here's a weird football play they want me to look at. Here's a guy in a cowboy hat. Looks like he's in an airport talking to someone in a skirt. Here's something about the Amish people, how they're sneaky AF. Here's a guy using a metal detector on the beach. I assume he's going to find something worth something. They say most metal detector videos, though, are just plants. Like the person just plants something and it makes it look like he found something. Here's a person walking with a cat. Really, you know, it's really the best use of my time would be to watch those reels. Another ad for sinkholes. How to fill sinkholes. I didn't know that was a problem, but I must have said the word sinkhole at one point. Because I work in higher ed, here is a quote in the higher ed discussions of AI writing and use page. And it's a picture of an old computer, and the headline is HarperCollins is selling their author's work to AI tech. That's horrible. Like, you wrote a piece a long time ago and a major publisher can turn it into something using AI. Quote, the next few years are going to be a real test of the writing community's solidarity. We, readers, writers, those who enjoy the ineffable human quality of art in any medium, must stay strong in the face of increasing pressure from the people who control our livelihoods and our access to art. Tell authors like that they shouldn't license their work for this S-word. Tell publishers, or tell your indie bookstores to tell publishers, you won't buy their books if they license them to AI training. Embrace the human, the slow, the strange, and maybe, just maybe, will make a world worth continuing. And that quote is from Drew Broussard. So authors are against their work being repurposed for AI. I guess you could just run, like, for example, the works of Mark Twain through AI, and they can come out with some new Huckleberry Finn books. You know, stuff like that. I'm not in favor. And also, like, who's going to read these books? It's hard enough to find time to read human books. Now I'm going to read AI books. All right, another community page post. Hello, all. I'm in search of a Christmas tree. My kitten got wrapped up in the cords from our old one last year, and I had to cut the cords to get her untangled and ended up just tossing the tree. Also, any Christmas decor anyone wants to part with! Exclamation point. Thank you in advance, heart emoji. Then an ad for Take 5 oil change. Maybe I need an oil change. Facebook's reminding me. Something from We Live in a Simulation. So it's a translation. Someone wrote it in a foreign language. It looks a little long, so I'm not going to read it. Another community page. What would zero waste efforts look like in Washington County? Come and discuss. And there's a zero waste seminar coming up. More kitchen cabinetry people. I did some kitchen cabinetry work on my own house the other day. Facebook must know somehow. All right. Here's a area restaurant review page. I'll read her review. Grabbed breakfast at Sherry's East Side Diner yesterday morning. We had been there once before and had a good experience. I ordered an omelet, and once it arrived and I began to eat it, I noticed an about a 6-inch long hair that was cooked into it. Puke face emoji. I picked it out and let the server know. She asked if I wanted a replacement, and my stomach was so turned at that point, I almost said no. I eventually agreed, and I watched her bring the plate into the semi-open kitchen and show the man behind the counter. He picked up the air, pinched between his fingers, and showed the guys in the back. After a while, my replacement arrived. I attempted to eat it, but was still pretty grossed out. I ate about half of it, and we asked for our check. I was surprised to see that they had charged me for the omelet. Before you come for me, I have worked in food and beverage my whole life. I have a hospitality degree. If there is one thing that I've learned is that blank happens. It ultimately comes down to how you handle a situation that really matters to people. I walked up to the counter to pay and asked the man who had been holding the hair, "You are still charging me for the omelet even after what happened?" He immediately got defensive and said, "Well, you got a replacement, didn't you?" Some emoji that looks like, you know, stop hand. I let him know that I understood that things happen, but I would have appreciated the gesture to remove it from my check. I stated that the hair was blonde or gray, mine is dark brown, and I had it tied up wearing a hat, and was cooked into the omelet. His response was that he had nobody back there with that hair color. So I got the impression that he was implying that I was lying about the situation. Yikes. The food and service aside from that were good. You could tell that they were busy and everyone was working together to care for the tables. It's sad that one interaction like that can be the reason that someone chooses not to return. So that's her restaurant review. You know, like, I run newspapers. It makes you wonder why we need newspapers anymore. Like food reviews, there's just people posting stuff on there. And right or wrong, like, maybe you don't need the newspaper for that anymore. All right, in the background, you've been listening to Evening Star from Frippinino from 1975. I thought it would be good mood music because my Facebook feed is like a fever dream of randomness. I'll end with a few last posts. Higher ed discussion of AI writing and use. Questions. Anyone use Turnitin to detect AI? We know it's really not good at detection, but has anyone done a study or have experience above what percent would a review be worth at closely in live discussing the assignment with student? 20%? 50%? Turnitin is software that like will tell if someone's using AI to cheat. Now, AI has kind of ruined short form essay college writing because so many students use it. It used to be back in the day, you would just give them a zero if they plagiarized. Now it's like, AI kind of bending the rules a little. If he uses 20%, 50%, is that okay? AI, like what percent this person's asking? No one replied. We live in a simulation, and there's a post from Elon Musk that someone screenshot. If life is a video game, the graphics are great, but the plot is confusing and the tutorial is way too long. And then someone wrote, says the guy playing with cheat codes enabled. All right, so there's this belief in the simulation, like if we're in a simulation, some people are what are called NPCs, non-playing characters, and other people have like the cheat codes and they're the playing characters, like Elon Musk, who's a billionaire many times over. Somehow it's his life, not our life, is the belief system. All right, well, I guess that about wraps up my Facebook feed. There's some ads, there's some low-budget filmmaking posts, there's some political posts in our local group, there's someone trying to sell a leather jacket, there's another anonymous confession, my husband is cheating on me, how do I find out who the other woman is? Please help with suggestions, and people give suggestions. So that is it. I thought I would give you a rant about my Facebook feed, how random it is, and why are people so addicted to it? It's so random, and it's kind of ruining us. So I thought I'd play a long-form album in the background while doing it. This has been Frippin' Eno's Evening Star. I have 15 minutes left. Let me fade it out and play some normal songs. So just give me a second here. All right. And let's play. How about Spandau Ballet Lifeline, since we've been talking about life?